So I turn the TV.
Literally. We ready? All right, here we go. All right, good morning, everyone. This is Commissioner Brian Culker meeting the 12th floor of the Capitol today. It is Tuesday, May 6th. We're meeting for our regular scheduled meeting. Typically, we do have on Wednesdays, but we're doing this one today on Tuesday. Tomorrow, we'll be at some telephone meetings in the eastern part of the state. So I appreciate my colleagues' flexibility and moving this meeting off one day. I don't really have any opening comments other than that. Commissioner Chrisman?
No opening comments other than to say that since our last meeting, we had the railroad discussion with railroad folks and some shippers who have been experiencing a lot of problems. And I don't know, I guess kind of a broad range of things. There was some encouraging news, some kind of discouraging news, and we continue to move on and watch that and put in some requests for some additional information from the railroads, and I'm sure that's forthcoming, and doing what we can to try and hopefully see some better activity as far as getting this grain shipped in a reasonable amount of time.
Yeah, just a quick question for you, Commissioner. Were we going to formalize what we were actually asking the railroads for? We talked about that briefly. I don't know that we
I was hoping to talk about that on admin.
Okay, we can just put it back then. All right, sounds good. Commissioner Fedorchak, any comments?
I do not have any opening comments.
All right, we have a few items on consent. I would move passage of consent.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
All right, thank you, Darrell. We'll get right to the regular agenda, item BK1. I move the commission issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in FPL Energy North Dakota Wind LLC wind turbine decommissioning investigation case number PU 13-794.
Second.
In September of 2013, the commission opened an investigation to determine the adequacy of FPL Energy North Dakota's decommissioning plan for its Edgely One wind energy project and whether financial assurance is needed. In January of this year, FPL filed an updated decommissioning plan and cost estimate. We met and had an informal discussion on this on January 29th, and what we're doing today is setting the notice of opportunity for hearing that anyone requesting a hearing on this matter, we have that request by June 17th of 2014, and really the two big issues that we'll be considering are whether some form of financial assurance is needed to assure that the project site is decommissioned and restored in accordance with North Dakota Century Code, and also if some type of financial assurance is needed, what forms of financial assurance should be required. So this motion and the next one are very similar and both deal with the same company, just two different wind farms. So I would move passage of item BK1.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion?
I would just add, in case there's folks listening online that are confused by this, because it sort of seems like we're just starting a process that we started last fall, and I think we've gone through, and the three of us have kind of determined that we want some sort of financial assurance to help with reclamation of these projects, or assure that they'll be reclaimed long term, and this just formalizes that request to the companies and invites them to offer to us what they would like that to be in a more formal way. So,
yeah, great point. And also, if anyone else would like to show up at that hasn't been involved to this point, that's a big opportunity for them if they want to come in.
Is there any further discussion? Since none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Thank you, Darrell. Item BK2. I move the commission issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in FPL Energy North Dakota Wind 2 LLC wind turbine decommissioning investigation case number PU 13-795.
Second.
Very similar to our previous motion. In September of last year, the commission opened an investigation to determine the adequacy of FPL Energy North Dakota Wind 2 LLC's decommissioning plan for its Edgely 2 wind energy project and whether financial assurance is needed. Went through the same process with this as the previous one, and this is also the notice opportunity for hearing that individuals have until June 17th of 2014 if they'd like to request a hearing on this particular case. And I suspect that we'll probably deal with these as a pair, but you never know. We'll see how it all plays out.
We have a motion and a second. Is there a further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Thank you, Darrell. Item BK3. I move the Commission publish notice of the 2014-2015 telecommunications relay service surcharge in the daily newspapers of general circulation in the state of North Dakota, case number PU14-222.
Second.
Okay, let's see here. A little background here. In April of 1993, Governor Schaefer approved House Bill 1028 that established a program to provide specialized telecommunication services and equipment to the communication impaired. The relay service program is funded by an access line surcharge paid by the customers of local exchange companies and radio communication service providers. The relay service program is administered by the ITD Department of the State of North Dakota. Before June 1st of each year, the Public Service Commission calculates the amount of surcharge based on the cost, data, and other information provided to us by ITD. Basically, we calculated this fee for the upcoming year, and it is going to be 4 cents per line per month. And that is the same number we've had for the last 3 years. Going back 4 years, it was actually 5 cents. And so I did have some discussion with staff about how these numbers are playing out with the increase in potential lines. And it looks like this 4 cents is going to be adequate for this year. But if we keep increasing lines in the state, maybe at some point it will go down to 3 cents per line, depending upon cost of services. But the numbers have been holding very steady, and it's certainly a worthwhile service. And I wonder if Commissioner Crisman and Senator Crisman voted on this back in the day. Were you there in 93?
Nope, missed the 93 session.
All right, fair enough. But I would definitely move passage of this item.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion?
When did you get to the legislature?
95.
Okay.
Since you're not all in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Commissioner Fedorchuk maybe did a press release on it when it got... through the 93 session, huh?
Actually, I arrived in the Capitol the same time you did.
Oh.
Shortly there before 95.
Okay.
Yep, the fall of 95.
Fair enough.
That's when good government really began, don't you think, Randy?
It's been improving ever since. 20 years of continuous improvement.
My sentiments exactly.
And who would I be to disagree? Did we already vote in this thing?
Yes.
All right.
He passed it. It's approved.
Item BK4. I move the Commission adopt the consent order in the Public Service Commission's damage prevention enforcement action concerning Rocky Mountain Contractors, Inc., case number PU14-138.
Second.
A little background on this particular damage enforcement action. Rocky Mountain Contractors is a business corporation with its principal offices in Helena, Montana. Northwest Communication Services, NCC, is North Dakota cooperative with its principal offices in Ray, North Dakota. In March of this year, a third-party damage complaint was filed by NCC alleging that Rocky Mountain did not use the appropriate North Dakota Century Code dealing with the one-call evacuation notice system. Our crack staff, Julie Prescott, did the investigation on this, and she basically determined that on January of 2014, Rocky Mountain provided an excavation notice to North Dakota One Call for work to begin on January 8, 2014. There was a locate ticket assigned, and so based on the investigation, Rocky Mountain personnel began an excavation as defined under Century Code while trenching for an installation of underground power cable at North Dakota State Highway 40 and 20th Street in the city of Tioga. Also based on the investigation, staff concluded that a copper telecommunications cable was damaged during the excavation in the amount of $745.20 was the total cost of the damage, and the company has reimbursed, I'm not sure the company, Rocky Mountain has reimbursed NCC for those costs. I would just point out in the cost that it was not fiber, and if it had been a fiber cut, it would have certainly been a lot more money than $745. So that part was, I guess, lucky it wasn't fiber optics, but it wasn't good that it got cut. Seven residential customers lost service for approximately 2 days. Based on the investigation, staff concluded that Rocky Mountain violated North Dakota Century Code by not conducting the excavation so as to maintain a clearance between the underground facility and the cutting edge or point of mechanized equipment so as to avoid damage to the facility and by not conducting the excavation in a careful or prudent manner. So in this particular case, the company did call in a locate ticket. There was a locate that was done, and the locate was properly conducted. But during the actual digging, the company did not exercise the care needed. Obviously, they cut the line. And so in this case, the recommended fine, which I agree with, is $500, where – and it's $500, I think, in my mind, because they did have a locate ticket, but they didn't do the care required. So had they not had a locate ticket, I think the $1,000 or more would have been appropriate. But in this case, the company really, once it happened, they took complete ownership of it, and they didn't try to run away from it, if you will. They talked to NCC. They took care of it. And I think the $500 is appropriate in this case. But they still need to always maintain care required when doing digging.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion?
So essentially what happened here was the line was marked, and it was where they marked it. They just got a little bit too close with excavating.
That is exactly correct. When they get inside that 24-inch zone, they should put away the mechanical equipment and take out their shovel. And they didn't do that.
That brings up an interesting question, and I've been looking through some of the more recent complaints in this area and damage prevention complaints. And how is it possible for them to follow safe digging practices in January? You cannot hand dig, and you can't use the – what's that other term? That's what's that other process? Hydrovac.
Well, they have to follow the law no matter what season it is.
I agree. I think this is an issue that we need to pursue a little bit with some of these – with the contractors, because we've seen a few damages of late that have happened in winter digging, and it just seems fairly impractical for them to get real close to be that finesse with the backhoes when they're digging in January, and that's what they have to use. It sounds like, I guess I'd just like more information about that.
Actually, I'm going to a North Dakota one. All of us are going to. Pat, too, I think, maybe even Julie Prescott. And my colleagues are always invited, too, that there's a North Dakota One Call board meeting on Thursday that I'm going to go over to. So I will bring that up with them. Because I know sometimes they'll provide heat in some areas. But to your point, I mean, you're out there digging in January. The ground is frozen. We've had the same discussion on even putting in pipelines in the winter, and they walked us through that in different hearings. But certainly a good topic to talk about.
Is there any further discussion?
One other thing I wanted to bring up, and I could do this in admin too, but I'll do it now since it's related to this. But in the feedback from Aaron's summit on pipeline safety, one of the items that somebody had suggested, and I think it's worth talking about, is doing news releases announcing these fines when we approve them. And I just thought that's probably worth doing.
We have done that on some occasions, but not all occasions. We certainly could do that.
You guys aren't opposed to that?
No. Matter of fact, I remember, didn't we just do one here about a month or 2 months ago when we had four of them in the same meeting?
Right.
To highlight that. So we certainly could do that.
We just did it as a matter of practice when there's – and then here's – it's a consent agreement, and we can say, you know, that the company agreed to pay the fine, et cetera, et cetera. But I think just gets the information out there a little bit further that the commission is serious about processing these complaints and following up with them whenever we can.
With as many as there are, I'm not convinced that that's going to be helpful to us, though, if we have news release after news release, you know, it seems like, I don't know, once a month or more on this subject. I think people are going to become, you know, get to the point where they don't really pay attention to that news coming out of here anymore. And then when there's a more consequential one, maybe it doesn't alarm them like it should.
Well, that's a good point. I would suggest that our news releases just target the community where the occurrence happened and not be a statewide news release. We just send it to the community where the violation occurred. And I think that would streamline things and avoid that problem.
I think we can kind of sort that out.
Yeah, and we can see.
Yeah, I just think back to my home paper, the Bottineau Courier, publishes speeding tickets every week in there, and they bring a lot of pressure to the local community that continues to put speeding high on their agenda. So there's some value that I understand your point, but it's also, there's a lot of peer pressure that goes on out there.
And it would be, I would envision, just a small item in kind of the summary sections where people, where this kind of news ends up.
Sure. Okay, so that, I believe, concludes the items in my portfolio. Did we vote on this one?
We haven't voted yet, Commissioner.
All right.
Is there any further discussion? Since seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Okay, that concludes my items in my portfolio, and I believe that
includes mine too.
Commissioner included as well. So we'll go to Commissioner Fedorchuk.
That was fast. I didn't even hear you.
Don't blink.
Well, I have just one item in my portfolio, and so we should have a really quick meeting today. I move the commission deem the applications complete and issue a notice of filings and notice of hearing in Highland Crude LLC, Crude Oil Pipeline, McKenzie Williams Montreal Siting Application, case number PU-13-136.
Second.
On March 27th, Highland filed an application for waivers of procedures and time schedules and with the commission. We'll go through all that. On March 27th, Highland Crude filed an application for a certificate of corridor compatibility and application for a route permit concerning a 197-mile crude oil pipeline and associated facilities located in McKenzie, Williams, Montreal counties, North Dakota. The commission finds the applications are complete, and this motion will announce a scheduled hearing in Williston, and we will determine the date and time and location at our admin meeting. And the hearing will be to consider this application for waiver procedures and time schedules and an application for a certificate of corridor compatibility and route permit for this project. This is an interesting project. I'm sort of disappointed the media aren't here because as I looked more closely at this, this is one of the most comprehensive pipeline projects I've seen since I've been at the commission. It's six separate lines, 197 miles of 8-inch crude, and it's going to serve multiple rail hubs, up to three export pipelines, and another fourth down the road when the Highland Double H, which is planned, is completed, if that carries forward as planned. It'll have 65,000 barrels per day capacity. It's a conversion from a gathering line to a transmission line. The company says that they originally built this as a gathering line, and then volumes have been much greater than they anticipated. So in order to keep up with the volumes of crude, they need to add pressure and storage to this line. And so that's what this project before us does. They did say in the application that there's no new line but under construction, but then if you look a little closer, they are adding another 10 miles of gathering line. It's not something that we'll be citing, but they are adding another 10 miles of gathering line on one of the loops, and it'll be in the same easement as the existing pipeline. It's an interesting project because it's constructed to allow the crude to flow in either direction, and it goes through the heart of the Bakken, does sort of a U-shape up starting in Williams and McKenzie counties, Williams, Montreal, and McKenzie counties for $55.3 million. So I think it'll be a really interesting hearing, and I'm eager to talk with the company about how it evolved from a gathering to a transmission line and those sorts of questions.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
I just want to talk through with both of you just I don't disagree that one hearing might be okay, but I wonder if this is one that we consider having two hearings on because of the scope of it. I don't know if
Talk to staff about that, and we looked at a couple different opportunities there. I ended up, because the pipeline has already been constructed and is in the ground, because it's a gathering line, and all of the construction process will basically be above ground facilities, just some storage tanks and pumping facilities. I didn't necessarily think the new impact in the communities was large enough to warrant multiple hearings, but I'm not opposed to them if you guys feel otherwise, because it is one of those borderline calls.
No, I think that's – I just wanted to just talk through it briefly, because the it's kind of like we do those major transmission line hearings. As long as no one has to drive, you know, more than a, you know, 50 to 100 miles to get
right.
to a hearing, in this case, it's
probably,
not, it's
about,
probably about that.
Yeah, that's what I've thought. If it's in Williston, it's probably less than 100 miles for sure.
Everyone involved. No, I think
from
that makes sense.
All the locations on the pipe. But, Randy, you have thoughts on that?
You know, I can go either way on it. I'll go with your decision as portfolio holder.
Okay.
If you changed your mind and wanted to have two, I wouldn't object to that either. But I don't think that one is unreasonable.
Okay.
Agreed. Good. Thank you, ma'am.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
That concludes my portfolio.
That's on scheduling, right?
Correct.
Okay, just a few announcements. This afternoon we have an informal hearing, a service area agreement between MDU and McKenzie Electric Cooperative. On Monday, the commission will be out in Hebron for a hearing on the Sunflower Wind Project. Just a quick note, let's see, transportation on that one. Kara's working that. I'll have to double check. Daryl, can you double check?
I will double
make
check.
Sure. I know it's almost a week away, but that'll be Monday. Work session the 23rd on Enbridge Pipeline. We've got a PI meeting 7:30 on May 13th, periodic information exchange with MDU down in their office building. So a little bit different twist, but I like the idea of having a morning meeting so we could fit everyone's schedule. And a few other things coming in the schedule. Other than that, I don't have any other comments. My colleagues have any closing comments?
I do not.
Julie?
No.
Okay, there are no members of the media present today, so we don't have any particular questions, I don't think. If it's okay with the two of you, I'd say we close this meeting and go right into admin. That's
sure.
All right. All right, we'll close the officially scheduled part of our meeting. Thank you.